You have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and turn to the 123rd Psalm. I'm excited tonight about what the Lord has placed in my heart, and I hope it excites you by the time that it's over. There's been something that's really been on my heart, and ironically, what God has put on my heart has been working on my mind. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that tonight, because one of the main things I've realized is that in every day of my life, that my joy in everything that I go through in each and every day is all controlled on how much that I let my mind let me enjoy it or let me not. How much that I let something bother me, my mind is in control of how much I let it bother me or how much that I don't. And I realize that even when I'm sick in body, how much that I complain about it and let myself roll the bed and, oh, how horrible that this is and how bad that it is. My mind is ultimately in control of my body. My hand does not go up right now unless my mind commands this hand to move. Amen? Ultimately, the mind is the head of this entire body. So without a head to run this body, it goes nowhere. And so if my head, if my mind is corrupt, and if there's a lot of other stuff going on, if it's going a million different directions, I'm scattered. I don't know which way I'm going. I don't know what direction that I need to be traveling. And there's so many times in our life, and this is what God's placed on my heart, there's so many times that we're looking for God's direction, and it's clearly there in front of us, but we choose not to follow because we're so scattered with everything else that we've got on our mind. Say my mind for me. My mind. It's the one thing that's ours that nobody can take away from you, that you have complete control of everything that's running around in there. All the thoughts that you can have about your brethren, all the thoughts you can have about me and how much you don't like me, they're all up here. Jacob, nobody can know exactly what you're thinking about right now. It's yours. It's everything that's in there. But you see, even in that moment when I can't read your mind, God knows your mind. God knows, and He sees your mind. And see, even when I try to do my best and everything that I think that I know it to be right in my own mind, there's still instances in my life when God has to lead me and change my mind. There's some instances when I think I'm right, but I'm not, and that God has to show me otherwise. And our pride steps in, as Doris was talking about, and our mind does not want to be changed, because our mind then changes our condition of our heart. Then our heart gets broken. Then we're upset, and then we have reason to not be moved. Well, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to worship because I'm upset. Well, why am I upset? Because something up here is starting me there. I want to read a little bit. I'm excited. In the 123rd Psalm, we'll start at verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of a servant look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us. When we work for somebody, we're attentive to what they would have us to do. We're focused upon their orders and their direction. Children of God, people that know His Spirit under the sound of my voice, people that know God, people that know when they need to move under the anointing, we've got to begin to be His servants and to follow after what God would have us to do. And we cannot think that we're above what God would have us to do, even when it's a big thing or a small thing. We have to begin to do it regardless, even if it's sweeping the floors, because sometimes it's not sweeping the floors, but it's going to feel like it. Sometimes I'm not going to feel like getting up and leading worship when I feel like that it's not going to go anywhere. Sometimes I'm not always going to feel up to it because of my circumstances before I come in the door. It's not always easy, is it, Jamie, to come in and be able to encourage others, to be able to get in there and worship God when you're walking through something that feels just as heavy as what they're carrying. But we have to have focus. Your eyes have to be upon God regardless, because when you're looking in another direction, you're not looking upon the place that will give you the blessings that you need. We're not looking in the place. In fact, we're looking in areas that are going to give us the things we don't need. As I begin to look in other areas, and I begin to look maybe at the bar, for example. I begin to look over at maybe somebody's house that has a few pills here or there. That's what I used to look at. That's the places that I used to go. I used to lean on the wrong things. You have some vices that you like to lean on. When our focus is in the wrong area, and God is not first in our life, it shows on us, because it's the first thing that you go to when everything goes wrong.
I'm telling you, it's just like clockwork. When you're hurt, when something goes wrong, the first thing that you want to lean on is the first thing that you trust in. Whether that be a loved one, whether it be an inanimate object, whether it be somebody that you count on if you show up at their house instead of us falling to our knees. I'm telling you the truth tonight. Because there's so many times when we need to begin to direct our focus to God when the times get tough. Instead of complaining and murmuring and getting so fed up with all of our trials. We're meant to be tested. We're meant to face a few rough times. We're meant to go through some things to make us tried and true children of God. It is going to be an effort for me to make myself look upon Him. Because you know why? Because I live in an earth where everybody else around me is telling me to look the other way. I live in an earth where people are telling me to give up. I'm living in a time where people are telling me you don't have to go to church. There's no help there. There's nothing there for you. But I believe in a God that's still able to do for me exceedingly abundantly above all that I would ever ask. I still believe in a God that when I turn and I focus upon Him, that He will meet my every need. Listen, I don't know when I turn and look at you, if I'd looked at you for everything that I ever needed, I would hope that you would come through on my timeline. But I know that I can't trust in man tonight. My focus, my everything, when I turn to the hills to which my help comes from. Don't you know that it is the great I Am and nowhere else? Quit looking back behind you in the past. Quit turning your eyes back behind you and looking at all your mistakes. Listen, what you did back then is behind you, and you cannot change what is behind you. But what we can do, as for today, we can fall to our knees and let God change us today. I know what I was back in my past, but I know what God did for me now, and I know that I'm changed today. And when I look back now, I don't look back on how much of a failure that I was. I look now and I know how much that God changed me. Do you feel the victory? Don't look back at it as something to depress you. Look back at it as something to know how far that you've came. If you're looking backwards, you're going in the wrong direction. If you've got your spiritual car in reverse, you're going the wrong way. What map are you looking at? Are we looking in the magazines, looking for the best advice in the world to reduce our worry? Are we looking online for the 5 best tips to be able to be happy? The 5 best tips to be able to keep our marriage together? Come on now, somebody. I know that it's not the most easy read in the world, but if you just get in there and pray and let God show you, there are plenty of resources to be able to educate you if you don't have a clear understanding of it. And if you don't, call somebody and ask them to sit down with you and help them to show you, because the answers are all right here. You don't have to buy a magazine for $4.95 to look for your marriage advice. You don't have to call somebody else just because they've been married for 40 years and ask them how they made it. Because the formula for their success might be different than your formula for success. But I found that the formula for my success and the formula for my success for everything is God. God is the glue that holds everything together. And without Him being above everything else in my life, everything else in my life will just begin to crumble. Everything else will just begin to fall away. It was never meant to sustain me through this life. But what God equipped to me, it was built to sustain me through life. Can we read on? Isaiah chapter 53. I'll just let you get there and I'll just start reading. Verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. All of us have come short. And I'm here to remind all of us, if some of us are still in perfect land, that we're not. I used to be in that land. I used to think that I was all high and mighty and that I was never going to make a mistake in my life, but I was shortly reminded that I am. And I am going to fail, Michelle. I am going to come short. And at some point in time, that everybody's going to look at me and my failure and be like, well, look what he did. And it might hinder you from being able to obey God because you're thinking, they're thinking, look what he did. Are we going to let that make us keep our seat? I'm not going to let that keep me down. You might look at my past and might see everything that I've done. But you see, God performed a miracle in me. You see, God wiped all my sins away and put them in the sea of forgetfulness. And I'm not the same as I was. But even so, we're all not perfect. And Christ came so that we would have a way out, a way of escape. So we're all going to come short. So if you feel like that you're the only one that feels like a failure in this building, you're not. And all of us that have come to be saved and come to know God, I know that if I ask everybody to show hands, we're all somebody that's came short before. Amen? We've all failed and we've all come short at some point in time in our life. But Christ was the one that came through as perfection. He was the one that came through and bore my sins even before I was ever brought into this world. And the more I think about that each day, I couldn't possibly fathom a person that could come in this world and say, I will take all your mistakes and bear them for you. Because when I think about that, if I half the time when I hear about somebody that's done something wrong and it makes me angry immediately, how can I even think that I'm going to bear your mistakes for you instead of judging them? Church, putting on the mind of Christ means when we come together, we're going to help get them to the altar, help get them saved, help them find a way to the Lord in the story. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter all the mistakes they've made. That love's going to see past all those things. With the love as the root of our foundation. You know what love does? It helps us to forgive, first of all. It helps us to see past all the faults and failures of everybody that comes in the door. It helps us to have fellowship where we would normally not have it. It helps us to be able to not only do the work inside of the church, but to have compassion for those that we don't even know. Glory to God. I hope and long for the day that when we begin to have the love of God in us, that we will finally open the door and say that we're not only having church on Sunday, but we're having some kind of something on Monday for people that we don't even know. But we'll never get there till we get ourselves in shape, till we get our focus. Where is my focus? If I walk away from the mirror and forget what manner of man that I am, when I make a mistake and instead of turning back to God and letting Him cleanse me, but just for completely forgetting that I'm a child of God and just thinking I can get away with doing that and going on about my life. Come on, people. That's why repentance was instilled into me. That's why it exists. We have to come back to God and admit that we failed, because admitting that we failed humbles us.
Yeah.
It brings us back to a lower state, because we weren't meant to be up on the mountain forever. We're meant to go up on the mountain so that we can have the power to return to the valley to help those in need.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Amen. I know I enjoy being able to be up on top of the mountain and just shouting all the way to glory. Hallelujah. But sometimes when God pours it out and I wonder, Lord, why does it get so hard? It seems like when I get so blessed, it's because that we got to travel back down to where the people are that are in need. It's not always going to be super shouting and holy rolling. It's going to be getting down in the trenches with people that really need help. And are we willing to do it? And if we don't have our focus in tune with God, we're not. We're just like everybody else. We're just walk away from Him and say, I don't have the time for you today. What a shame that is. Are you really saying that right now? Yes, I am. And if you have a problem with it, that's all right, because it's the truth. That's all right. We have to have more compassion. I was thinking about this the other day. If we are in the best shape of our life, I hope that the church begins when we see or recognize the lost when they come in, that we not only just welcome them, that we flock to them and see if they need help, that we don't let it go by longer than like 10 or 15 minutes. Why do we wait? If they need help, we should just be able to go to them. You know why we wait? Because our focus is off. We're not focused in. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things be added unto you. We want all the additions without the cost. We don't want to pay the price anymore. We don't want to lay down all these other things to draw closer to God, to be able to have a stronger anointing. We want the stronger anointing without paying a price. And I've learned that there's lots and lots and lots of things that's already gone in my life, but there's more and more that has to continue to go as God shows me. So as much anointing as you would see me feel in my life, it did not come without a price. It did not come without me laying down some stuff. And I'm telling you, there's sometimes I wish I could go back out and enjoy the things that I used to enjoy, but it's not worth it. The price I paid is well worth what I feel in my heart. The call that God has on my life is well worth the high that I feel now. You don't understand. I can't get it out and explain it to you. I wish that I could tell you how that I feel something so great in my heart. Ernest, I wish I could just get it into words. I wish that I could explain it. I wish that I could just write it down or draw it in such a picture that it would draw somebody immediately. But the only way that they'll ever be able to know that there's something in me that they might possibly want is if there is something in me that witnesses to them. And the only way that you can witness to somebody is if you witness to their senses. In other words, that you witness to something that they can smell, see, hear, touch, or feel. And then there's that additional other sense, other than all the fleshly senses. There's that spiritual sense that we all know about as children of God. And that one only comes when you begin to move in obedience to God. Let's keep reading. We're getting there now. Book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 16. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Key word I read there is covereth. We'll come in with our masks on. Try to put on, JR, the entire service. Like we're okay. And we desperately need prayer. Too proud to admit that we need help. Or we'll come in and have sinned all week long and think that we're going to get up and obey God just as highly anointed as we always did. We're going to have to check ourselves and quit covering up all the stuff that we think we can get away with. God wants a pure heart. God wants without spot or blemish. And He wants us coming in without anything in here. He said to come in with thanksgiving. You know how you come in with thanksgiving? Because you have joy already in your heart. You know how you already have joy in your heart? Obviously, you don't have anger in there if you already have joy. If you have thanksgiving, you already have something in your heart that you're being thankful for. You're already considering all the blessings that's happened in your life. If all of us came in and considered all the blessings that God had given us, I don't think it would take us 7 to 8 songs to go ahead and get into the spirit of worship. I don't think that. We take too long to get into the spirit of praise. Well, if we really came in and did as God's word had instructed us to do, it wouldn't be such a fight. Don't blame singers now. If we're going to really get right down to it and finger point, let's read in God's word and say, examine ourselves. Are we coming in the door with thanksgiving? Half the time we won't even come in and fellowship with each other. Uh-oh, I just felt my toes get stomped on. That's okay. That's all right. I'm willing to take a few darts to preach the truth to you. We got to have more love with each other. We got to have more compassion. We got to come in and show people that they're welcome. The other day, I'm not going to say who it was or when it was, but God showed me somebody that I should have went to and just made sure that they knew that I was glad that they came. And I had a hard time laying down that night because I didn't get to them. Somebody that had visited. Has that ever happened to you? It finally happened to me. I was thinking, oh Lord, I won't do it again. I'm going to do. Because my focus is off. If I come in and I don't come in with thanksgiving, shame on me. Not shame on anybody else. I've looked too far if I'm trying to blame everybody else in the church. It's shame on me. That's it. It's point blank. If I come in and I don't do my part and I come short, it's shame on me. It's something's come short in Jared's life. Amen. Amen. My focus is off, obviously. If I come in with thanksgiving and I come in and I just stand up and be obedient and do my part to God, first of all, I'm already going to be encouraging you because I'm obeying the Lord. And secondly, it's going to rub off on somebody else because they see that there's a willing vessel in the house of God. They see somebody else that's willing to encourage the brethren. The whole point of assembling together is that we may edify the body. Because it'd be very easy for us just to stay at home all the time and encourage ourselves, but eventually that food's going to burn you out. So we have to get together sometimes and eat from each other's table. Because when you get out there in the world, you're going to be in the presence of your enemies, and God prepares you a table for those situations. But there's just something about coming to church and feeling There's just something about that testimony from a sister or a brother that lifts you up. But where are we without that? Where are we without that? Where is our minds without the encouragement? I'll tell you exactly where we are. We're in a state of confusion. You're exactly where the enemy wants you to be. Okay? When we get in a place where we listen to the devil, that's exactly where he wants you to be. When you're not declaring the name of God, when you're not giving him praise, when you're not being active and adamant about seeking God and seeking and doing what he would want you to do, you're in the devil's playground. Amen, Jared. You're in his playground, and then you welcome every tactic that he has to throw at you. You might think this is way off from what you thought it was going to be, but that's all right. Because I know how the enemy tries to work, especially in my life. But if I get control of this, he can try to come any other way. But I can see it. I recognize it. And even if it tries to come and bother me a little bit, I still have the peace of God to be able to withstand it. There's so many times that we voluntarily just say, come on in. Take my joy. Go ahead. Give me all the depression in the world. Just go ahead and give it to me. That sounds silly when I say it to you like that, don't it? In plain talk. But in theory, that's what we really do. When we just sit around and don't say anything and we let it get bottled up inside and not tell anybody about our problems and not pray to God, that's exactly what's going on. You just begin to let that just simmer and just let it build inside of you, and eventually you're irritable to your family. Let's keep reading. Mark chapter 4. And the cares of... this is from the parable of the sower, for the record. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Cares of this world. All the things that I find to be of worth. In other words, all the things that I place value on. So what might be important to me, maybe not important to you, but it is to me. In other words, something might conflict me from being obedient to God because I hold it to be of worth to me. Or they care about money so much that they'll do whatever they need to do and just put God out of the picture. Don't let objects keep you from feeling the presence of God. Don't let something that sparkles to your eye or looks good turn you away from what God would have you to do. Enemy comes in very, very, very many ways. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Enemy comes in very many ways to try to turn us away from God and keep our attention away from being obedient to the Lord. And we're growing up men and women of God. And we better keep our focus on what's important. And we better do exactly what God would have us to do and nothing more. We better not be getting involved in any funny business. We better be focused. We better be doing exactly what God would have us to do. You see, the deceitfulness of lust is a very, very huge thing. And you better be careful. You better watch. You better be careful. That's all I feel the Lord in this. There's so many things out there that can get us twisted up and turned and get our focus off of God. And we think that it's no big deal. It's politically correct in the world. That does not mean that it's all right in God's eyes. We have to realize that if God speaks it in our heart and it says nay in here, doesn't matter if it says yes out in the world, it's still nay. We got to hold ourselves up to a different standard, Danny. We got to stand up and believe earnest for something different. Even when they say things are all right, we know better. We know better. Even if people say that's all right, you go right ahead. No, we have to have a different standard. You having a different standard might be the door that opens up for you to be able to witness to somebody. But don't get me wrong, don't argue with somebody. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying for you to be able to witness. This isn't about justifying and battling on who's right. This is just about you showing that what you believe in and what you stand up for. Hallelujah. Let's read on. Isaiah, we're going back to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. And this is what I wanted to conclude with, that when we begin to look to God and focus upon Him, that all that I know how to say it to conclude is that everything else will be all right. Everything else will fall into place. And that if you really, and I'm going to stress this, if you really mean it, if you really focus on God, if you really pray every day, if you sincerely call out to Him, if you really put the enemy to flight. If you really read His Word, if you get serious about what matters to you, and let God see what's important in your life, and you begin to put away all the childish things that would hinder you, you will begin to see things change in your life. You will begin to see a closer walk with God. Because the things that were hindering you from taking steps closer to God won't be there anymore. You see, you'll be able to take a deeper walk with Him. Because all the things that were stumbling blocks before won't be there. And when you begin to draw closer to Him every day, all the things that what used to bother you won't bother you. They'll just float right off of you. And I know beyond all doubt that the enemy's trying to work in the minds of the church. It's the new disease, depression, the prescribing our church to oblivion, putting everybody at home just sitting there and just, they don't even know. Their focus is so, they're out there, they don't even know where they are. They used to know, but they don't know anymore. And I used to be somebody that was diagnosed with that too. And I know what it feels like to feel like that life's not worth living. I used to know what it feels like that nobody cares about you. To really be convinced in your heart, to feel that inside, I really know what that feels like. But I'm here to tell you that that is a lie from Satan himself. And I'm here to tell you that if you call out on God, that God is one that loves you when all else will fail. And you can just begin to call out on Him every day, and you can have assurance that He will be there for you when everybody else just seems like they don't care. He is a way of escape. I know that when we feel like that all else has failed us, that you can still turn to God. You can still trust in Him. You can still feel the comfort of His Holy Ghost. You see, He endued power to us from on high. I feel like that power was not only to cast out those things that were in others, but also to cast out the things that would try to dwell from within us. In other words, those things that would try to be placed upon me to say, Jared, you just go ahead and leave this world, nobody loves you. I'm going ahead and rebuking that right here and now. For anybody that would try to sit under the sound of my voice and say, I have no purpose for living. You have a purpose to live. You have a purpose to live. Nobody loves me. I rebuke that too. You go ahead and just go ahead and jot it down in your book that Jared Meredith loves you. I want you to know that. If my eyes aren't hitting you right now, just write it down in your book that I love you. And I pray for this place. And I want you to be happy. And I want God's Spirit to flourish in your life. You know that? I want you to just be so happy. My heart is so broken because I see so many people's minds just here and there. And we have so much power in God, but we lose it because our minds are just swimming around in the clouds. And Jamie, we've got to come back down and realize that we are servants of God. And Danny, we have the power just to cast out all those things. And we don't have to wait 4 weeks to have an almighty, powerful service of God. And children, you can stand up right now if you want to and put the enemy to flight. You could stand, I feel this now. You could stand up right now and say, get out of my house, get out of my mind. It's all about how much that you believe. You could stand up and right now and declare to the Lord and to the devil that He will save my loved ones. Do I have anybody willing tonight?